Extreme Heat, commentary for the July 30th, 2022 Sabbath School lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. Psalm 91, verses 9 and 10. In the 1980 movie by Jamie Ewis, The Gods Must Be Crazy, a Kalahari bushman comes across something in his wanderings he has never seen before. An empty Coca-Cola bottle dropped from a plane by a pilot who had just finished drinking its contents. Taking the bottle back to his tribe, they try to make sense of the object and attempt to use it in diverse ways. Eventually, the temptation to own the singular item erupts into conflict among the tribal members. So Z, the bushman, decides to return the blessing back to God, because instead of being a blessing, it became a curse. The movie is a story of his adventures while trying to return the bottle. Eventually, he arrives at the top of a cliff surrounded by clouds below. Thinking this must be as close to God as he can get, he tosses the bottle into the clouds and returns to his tribe. The movie was a satirical comedy. We laugh at such naivete even when we blindly believe so many things about God ourselves that not only are inconsistent, but may even be as harmful to our families, our tribes, as the Coke bottle was to Z's. Our lesson quarterly illustrates the inconsistencies well, but presents them in such a manner that the writer does not seem to realize the schizophrenic nature of those inconsistencies. The central focus of the quarter is suffering, and the oldest example of an attempt to deal with the nature of this topic is the book of Job. Job is unfairly tested by God, who allows the devil to assault Job in every way, save a mortal wound. Job's wife tells her husband to just curse God and die to end his suffering. Who, faced with great anguish, mentally, physically, or spiritually, has not been tempted to do the same? Too many have taken their own lives because they could no longer deal with the pain in this world. Others suffer with rent hearts, struggling mightily to bear up, their daily prayer being, if God could not ease the pain they are suffering, then might he strengthen them to endure. Struggling as a younger man with a wife slowly dying of a chronic disease, and my own painful and debilitating illness, I prayed that prayer myself many times. Job's friends were of little help. Like this lesson quarterly, they insinuate that his suffering is a result of some disobedience to God's requirements. Two things argue against those well-meaning friends. First, the introduction to the book reveals that it is a result of divine capriciousness, and second, as Paul says, quoting from Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3, no one is righteous, not even one. Therefore, according to Paul, everyone is deserving of the punishment meted out to Job. Despite that, God's capriciousness is evident throughout the Old Testament. He comes across like an abusive spouse who says he loves us and then subjects us to horrendous torture. Then he blames the evil on us, claiming our behavior forces him to do it. And if we would only be obedient, we wouldn't be forcing him to be so cruel. I am deeply opposed to that characterization of God, for that is not love, and if God is love, then this characterization must be the lie. God is consistent. The prophet Malachi tells us that God does not change. But like the Roman god Janus, who rules over transitions between opposites, God is portrayed as being highly schizophrenic. On the one hand, he is portrayed as merciful and compassionate, and then later, he is killing thousands for offending him. If we are all indeed disobedient, how then can anyone be spared? Why does God spare some sinners and not others? The Bible tells us we are all captives to the fate he intends for each of us, and will be judged accordingly. When others go about feeling that this justifies their oppression and abuse of others, and that this is felt to be acting in the character of God, I shudder. But I worry even more about those who seem to have given in to Stockholm syndrome, and instead of questioning the brutality of it all, begin to justify their captors. This becomes even more apparent when coupled with a literal approach to the Bible. If we see the Bible as a metaphorical attempt to understand theodicy and the persistence of evil, both in our personal lives and in society at large, we can become the means of relieving that suffering as the hands of God. But taken literally, it becomes too much of a temptation to see ourselves as the sword of God, to slay evildoers wherever we find them, even, sadly, within our own households. Those girls cast out by their families for becoming pregnant, or those boys cast out for experimenting with drugs, know the point of that sword all too well. So many times that sword has been wielded against the divorced, those who wear jewelry, or even ridiculously against those who eat meat or those who eat cheese. All this in the name of God, characterized as someone who would keep others out of heaven for such offenses. Some have even insinuated over passages like Leviticus chapter 11 that those who eat pork or shrimp will not be saved because of disobedience. Do they really think that God will bar from heaven anyone who has tasted these things? Should they make it, and characterizing God in such a manner may make that doubtful, they will be in for a surprise. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. One thing about the truth is that, like God, it is always consistent. This means that the inconsistent portrayals of the character of God cannot be true. If, as John tells us in his first epistle, God is love, it is impossible to reconcile that with his portrayal as vengeful, homicidal, and even genocidal. Jesus did much to dispel those notions in his ministry and demonstrated it in his willingness to die for people who had no viable claim to personal righteousness. He killed no one. Instead, he preferred to suffer his own death rather than bring death to those who opposed him. This paradox has led many to call themselves New Testament Christians because it is impossible to reconcile this with God as portrayed in the Pentateuch. Sadly, rather than recognize the error for what it is, an erroneous perception about God that led many astray, even to the murdering of Jesus, too many apologists try to reconcile God as portrayed in the Pentateuch with a portrait of God given by Jesus. It is like opening a package from IKEA and finding the pieces inside the box don't belong to the same item of furniture, yet trying to make them work anyway. Instead of trying to make a true model of God using all the pieces in the Bible, what if we were to use Jesus as the model and reject whatever denied that reality, even if it meant casting aside some of our most cherished tenets? Our world has enough suffering and pain. Do we really want to add to that by modeling judgment and harshness based on that kind of a perception of God? There is no denying there is evil in the world, often enabled by people who actively oppose God. What they are opposed to may be the capricious, schizophrenic, pain-inflicting God we pull forth from the Pentateuch. But no matter the reason, Jesus made it clear in the Sermon on the Mount, we are to love our enemies. He doesn't say we are to judge them, condemn them, ostracize them, or do any other harsh thing to them. While that seems to fly in the face of common sense to many who feel that, as Christians, they must remain constantly vigilant, ready to inflict moral judgment on others if necessary, Jesus gives a remarkably simple answer, a simple reason we are to manifest such love. He says, do it because God does. That one statement shoots down every characterization of God that says the opposite, even though it may be derived from the Old Testament. Jesus said, no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, Matthew 11:27. It is not God who brings suffering, but men, who in the name of their constructed, vengeful God bring suffering on others. Jesus revealed the character of God most profoundly on the cross, hung there by others who felt they were acting out the will of a vengeful God. He simply prayed to the Father, "Forgive them. They don't understand." Some of these men had studied Torah all their lives, but had not arrived at understanding. Jesus is the key that unlocks everything we need, and by extrapolation, everything the world needs. And it is not judgment, but love. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find this commentary in written form with the scripture footnotes at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can find hundreds of other commentaries there as well. May God richly bless you and your family.